should we talk about like how immigrants and refugees in our communities are being deported back to their home countries? It's very sad. Or should we also talk or debate about the failing U.S. economy?
Wow, those are some hot topics. How about you start with your first one there? I'm interested in what's Bob Rae up to? And I guess Bob Rae is running for MP in Toronto Centre for the Liberals, right?
Yeah, he shipped boats. He was part of the NDP, now he's with the Liberal Party. What's
mm-hmm.
going on with that?
Tricky stuff.
I don't know. I'm just going to be personal today. I've never and will be a fan of Bob Rae. That's just me. But that's just me. Because like, when...
Sorry, I was having some technical difficulties.
Okay, so... because when he was premier, he didn't really do a good job. And... now he's being a hypocrite where he's like a few like months back he was like, oh, we're gonna raise the tuition for the colleges and universities, and then now he wants to be friends with the students. You know, when he actually said that he wanted the tuition fees for colleges and universities to be increased, he had like students protesting, right? Like people were saying Bob Rae out or some other, you know, slant. I can't remember them, but it's been a way back. So I can't support a man who's a hypocrite, who's a, you know, who basically lies. He's a politician, right? And I know he's, you know, when he was younger, he went on rallies and all that, like you said. But now he's an old man, you know. He does what old men does best, which is, you know, go against the students and... you know, but that's just me. That's just me. And plus, this is Bubble Africa. I'm back this week. You know, I've been out on vacation, but I'm back.
Okay, so sorry about the technical difficulties. My name is Helen Choi, and I'm a proud alumnus of Regent Park Focus. Sorry about, again, the technical difficulties with the mic. But as you were tuning in right now, I'm actually at U of T, part of the Association of Part-Time Undergraduate Students. So, you know, this is how I, you know, get in touch with the community, not just here at Regent Park, but also now, you know, at U of T. And so we're talking about Bob Rae and the elections here at Regent Park and how this affects, you know, the people here in the community and people, even students, and how it's really important that, you know, the community is engaged and informed about what's going on about their, you know, potential elected nominee and why it's really important in terms of civic engagement, in terms of citizenship identity, that we know what kind of person we are dealing with. And now I don't want to get personal here. I know that Emmanuel here was like, I just want to get personal. I don't want to get the drums going on. But let's go into the facts about why, you know, there might be some people who have a lot of beef to stink up with in terms of Mr. Rae. First of all, before we begin about current issues, let's go into like the history of how this leader came to be where he is today. I think this is really interesting, no?
Yeah, take us back.
Okay.
Take us back.
So right now we are young, you know, aspiring wannabe professionals and youth and students, right?
Yeah,
okay. So do you remember the 60s and the 70s, the ever so, the nostalgia that we hear about, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, the student movement, the big hurrah, you know, and then you have the women dressed up as strippers running around campus, be like, women's rights, rah, let's burn bras. And you also had like 700 students just packing, you know, college campuses, you know, and then you had the following week, you had 400 students, and the following week you had 500 students, and they were so, like, you know, like the epoch of the hippie movement, you might say, the drugs, sex, and rock and roll. So anyways, Bob Rae was in the midst of all of that, okay, just visualize, in the midst of all that chaos at the University of Toronto during the 60s and 70s, yes, Bob Rae. And, he was actually a student leader in a little shit disturber. And let me see, I have here that he would he was actually really ardent about pushing for a change within the governing structure at the University of Toronto. That was a big fight in the Canadian student movement then. And it was really successful in the sense that it came. Ray convinced professors to agree to student-faculty parity on the Commission on University Government, whose report would later be the basis of the University of Toronto Act of 1971. And Ray helped draft a report, which literally collapsed the university's governing bodies into its current structure, which is now called the Governing Council, with its 50 members elected from the university's stakeholders, with students, faculty, alumni, and administration, lieutenant governors in council, and two presidential appointees. Now, why am I telling you about University of Toronto with Bob Ray? The reason why I'm telling you this is because the leaders' public debate will take place next week, Monday, at the University of Toronto from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Victoria College. At okay. Bader's Theater, and I really encourage every single one of you in the community to go there. And furthermore, if you are a student, if you're a struggling student who has the burden of shouldering, like, let's say $45,000 in debt, you know, if you have this this anger because you're pissed off about, you know, just you're hurting so much that you can't even pay for your bus fare to go to classes, then you know what, you might as well go pay him a visit and be like, hey, do you remember those days when you used to be a hurting, struggling student, or were you never really one? Because I want to know, what's going on here? How can you, when you used to be the premier of Ontario and now, you know, you ship boats to the Liberal Party, but that's fine, your prerogative, but like, the fact is that you drafted this education report and you were okay with increasing our tuition fees. Last time I checked, 14 students at U of T got arrested for actually doing the same thing that you did back in the 60s and 70s. Wow. What's going on here, Bob Ray? What is going on here? You know, you want these voters who are between 18 to, 65 eligible voters, like, you know, my age definition here might be incorrect, but you get what I'm trying to say. You know, the struggles then are still the same today. Where is your consciousness? And what are you going to do for the students today? And are you going to actually, like, you know, go back to your home, you know, university and be like, hey, this is not cool? Or are you going to turn your back and be like, hey, that's not necessary. You shouldn't be activating. Or no, not even activating. You shouldn't be into activism because you're too radical. Is that what you're going to say now? So, you know, I this is something I really encourage everyone to really consider. And, you know, this is a big issue since people with marginalized communities, especially students, a lot of them, you know, fall under, like, the bracket of part-time or mature students. And I don't really mean to, like, categorize or stereotype, but if you look at it statistically, too, what's really interesting is that a lot of them are actually women and women of color. And it's really something to think about. But besides that, and Bob Ray coming to U of T and Bob Ray running for election at in Regent Park, the second thing is I just got back at U of T today from a political protest. And, you know, if you're wondering about what's going on with students and campuses, and I hear a lot of people saying stuff like, oh, university campus or student politics is so cheesy, you know, they have no life and, you know, they need to move on and their events suck and, you know, they're just like, oh, I don't want to deal with these students, like, frig, they're so annoying. Okay, let me tell you something to the masses. I just got back from a really freaking awesome protest and a rally, and it was really touching. And the reason why it was touching was because this student, his name is Saad, and he is a mature student at University of Toronto studying in Mississauga. And right now he's 23 years old. He's studying life sciences and psychology, and his parents face imminent deportation to Bangladesh unless the Minister of Immigration intervenes to grant him status. And mind you, he's facing deportation this Saturday.
Yeah.
And the thing is that 5 years ago, Saad Alam and his parents came to Canada. And his parents took two jobs each working day and night to put Saad to school.
Yeah, because he had to pay the immigration.
He was forced to pay international tuition fees. Right. Even though he was living here in Canada, even though, you know, they're working out their immigration status and stuff, he still had to pay, you know, triple the amount of the regular tuition fees. You know, and the current amount of tuition fees a student's pay is like roughly, if you're just like a general, you know, arts and science students, I'd say it's a rough estimate anywhere from like $5,000. Okay, so tripled up by three.
Yeah.
And so his parents have been working day in, day out to support him. And Saad was took no jobs. Oh, no, Saad did take on jobs. And he was working at restaurants for less than minimum wage. Do you know how it's like to work at a restaurant? You know, bussing and doing the dishes and just, you know, picking off of the nasty little scrap of food that you don't want to eat. So this is clearly a very, very sad situation for immigrants and a sad reality for people of color or for racialized people in Canada. And, you know, for Immigration Canada, you know, hearing this testimony was still not enough for him and his family to stay. So Saad and his family's study and work permits were withdrawn, and their departure order have been issued and are scheduled to leave this Saturday. So I was at that rally. He was there. His family were there, and they were in tears because they don't want to leave this country. They call Canada a home for them now. So
yeah, I was reading up a bit about it. Yeah, it said he's been here in Canada for 5 years, but apparently 9 years before that, they immigrated to the United States, but as you know, 5 years ago, a lot of stuff was happening. It was a couple of years after September 11th, and this family decided to leave America just because of discrimination. A Muslim family in America, they weren't doing too well, so they came to Canada, and I guess last May, the Audit General Sheila Fraser put out a report that the Canadian Border Services lost track of over 41,000 illegal immigrants.
41,000. They lost track of 41,000 illegal immigrants?
Yeah. So they lost track of them. People that should have been deported or given their notice and just went through the cracks. So I have a suspicion that this is going to be popping up more and more. You're going to see families just out of the blue being deported and no questions asked, really. So this is a big one. Like, if we can fight this one, maybe there'll be other cases that we'll have a better chance, more families can stay.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's not just Saad and his family. It's also, there's another family facing the same issue. And interestingly, there's going to be another an emergency rally next week at the immigration office, just so that the immigration minister hears about it. But, you know, again, to all the listeners out there, I really encourage every single one of you committed to issues regarding race, regarding immigration, regarding, you know, unnecessary profiling, then you should definitely check out a website that's really informative called No One Is Illegal. I repeat, No One Is Illegal. And sign the petition and write a letter to your Minister of Immigration. Let her know this is not cool. And we're supposed to be not like that. This is Canada. You know, whatever happened to multiculturalism and all that stuff, like, is that just a... I don't know. Do you have an opinion about that one?
Yeah, of course, I always do. This is This is Bubble Africa here. I think it's sad that they're facing deportation. But the only question I have is, why didn't they try to come to this country legally, like the millions of other multicultural families that come to Canada, right? Like, why? They're not here to answer me, but that's one question I have, right? Because there's a lot of people, like my family, we spent close to seven years trying to get our Canadian citizenship status, and we got it. But it was a very, very tough journey that we went through, and we got it. So why, I understand that they're contributing to the economy and all that, but that's the bottom line. The bottom line is that they came to this country illegally, and my hearts go, to their families, and it sucks to be, getting kicked out of your country that you love, that you made friends here, but, and I know it's sometimes not easy to do that, to come into this country legally. I know it's not easy, but have they tried that, right?
And I was reading about how they claimed refugee status and why. Apparently, Saad's father is part of, or he has affiliation with the Jatiya Party in Bangladesh, and members of that party actually face a lot of persecution. I was reading about one person who was tortured and kidnapped and arrested and, framed for murder, and he's was seeking asylum in other countries, which was also rejected. And I don't know if that's really
so
well
that
known.
For this case, is he part of a terrorist?
That's economy? Well, no, it's. This party actually, they.
Okay, seriously, that's just not cool. Like, just because someone has a certain, color or a certain ethnic, affiliation, does not mean they're terrorists. Okay.
Yeah, and this party is actually committed to notifying the citizens what their rights are and talking about corruption in the country, and that's what they do, and that's why they face persecution from the other parties.
That's what I'm asking.
Well, I did read that they made a bid for refugee status in 2004 and lost that, and they also made two appeals, one based on compassionate grounds and the other on fear of persecution. Right. So that's where that's coming from. He's
so is it a it's
back.
A fact that it's a fact that the father is entangled with some terrorist type of thing?
No, it's not terrorist at all. It's
okay. All right. Okay, I just want to get that clear.
It's so far from that. It's like anti-terrorist.
I'm sorry. All right. So yeah, I know. Like millions of Africans, they come to this country almost every year, and almost every single person, they try to get here, legally. Like we came here as landed immigrants, right? And after, like I said, 7 years, we got our Canadian citizenship status. So if it, it takes a lot of work. So they should just like keep on trying, But
being deported.
It's sad. There was another story of a 6-year-old, and his family was getting was facing deportation, and I don't know how the story ended, but my point is this is gonna keep happening, and I just hope that. And the other thing is it's election time, so how much would the immigration minister actually do? Like,
so we can actually use this against our political members and
actually
hold them accountable.
Point of clarification. Sometime this year, I think it was around March,
right.
Around March, April. I can't really know this too. I forget exactly when. It was March, April, February. I forgot. But actually, our current Minister of Immigration, she drafted a bill to make the screening process make it really harder. And so I remember I was following up on that. And so actually, to get into Canada now is not as it's not that easy, and to get immigration status is not that easy. It's going to be actually a lot harder. I guess for the next show, I'll talk more about the specifics of the politics of immigration and how there's these entrenched systemic racialized issues that need to be addressed.
What I think is interesting is that Saad is pursuing a medical degree, and we're currently looking for more doctors. You know, it's kind of the perfect thing. And there, he applied for a temporary permit to study in Canada, but it was rejected because he would have to apply from Bangladesh. And it's interesting with these tougher rules now and regulations, it makes it seem like it's even more of a racist attack.
My question is, would it be possible for him to reapply to get back into this country? Like, if his family gets deported, would it be possible for him to, like, somehow, you know, come here as an independent, you know, not part of his family, not part of his, you know, father or whatever, you know, to continue on his studies? Like,
it's possible, but that's a huge negotiation. I mean, it's not what they want. They want to stay here. They shouldn't just be thrown out. Both his parents are doing great things, and his father's at risk of going back and being persecuted. I think if that wasn't there, it wouldn't be as big an issue. I mean, it still is, not to put it down any, but if there wasn't the risk of persecution, yes, they could go back, apply, come back to Canada. Like, that would be so annoying to have to do that for a family.
Yeah.
But he gets back, as soon as he steps on Bangladesh ground, he's scared for his life, basically.
Right. And I did hear something about that new structure or new procedure that Ministry of Canada has. They're basically going to take people, foreign people, who can contribute to the Canadian society. Right, so if we need more doctors, you know, they can pull in the doctors from other countries. If we need, I don't know, carpenters, you know. So I think that's how they're making it harder, right? But it also has a positive side, because, like you guys said, there's a lot of unfilled positions, unfilled job placement that nobody's doing. So this way we can actually fill it easily, right?
But it would still be filled if you had two people.
Right.
One was a doctor, one is, I don't know, he's a sanitation worker.
Yeah.
And with these new laws says, okay, we don't need sanitation workers, we're going to throw you away, we're going to take that doctor. Okay, we got a doctor. Even without that rule, you could still take the doctor and the sanitation worker. Why aren't you taking that sanitation worker?
Also, if you're a trained doctor in another country, that's not good enough in Canada. You can't work as a doctor here unless you go back to school.
Yeah, the residency, you know, it takes almost like close to like 7 years, right? Like, there's a lot of taxi drivers who were doctors in their own country, and even that, like, I read. Well, this is a given, right? Because Canada doesn't recognize education from other countries, right? So that's mm-hmm. why you have a lot of people who are like doing jobs that are not what they're trained for. Like, we did a video a while ago about immigrants owning their own business. A guy is like, I think he owns a cigarette store, and he had like two degrees from the University of India, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like, he can't do anything with that here, but he still finds a way to make it work, right?
Yeah. This sucks. Seriously, like, it just plain downright sucks. Like, I mean, See, sometimes like people forget their own privilege. People forget that like they get stuck in this little bubble of me. And I think it's this whole notion of like individualism and, you know, striving to be the best that you can be and stuff like that. Like, yeah, there's all these different factors, right? But when it comes down to it, like when we talk about like basic elementary like human rights, like the right to live freely without being persecuted, mm-hmm. the right to live, you know, to be able to think the way you do, to be able to speak the way you think, you know, to be the free to be associated with who you want to be associated to, the right to eat, the right to have shelter, like these.
To seek asylum in another country.
You know, like, why are we making it that much harder to have these basic needs? So, you know, it's election time right now. There are some of you election campaigners out there, or just, you know, people anywhere out there hearing this, just let's think about like these basic things where, you know, in Canada we're supposed to have these things, yet it's a big issue.
Mm-hmm. All right, so if you want to know more about this deportation issue with Saad and his family, you can head on over to nooneisillegal.org. There's a Toronto section there, and you can find out all about it there. And Helen.
And my name is Helen, and I'm so happy to be here on the show with you guys today. And right now I'm at the Association of Part-Time Undergraduate Students at the University of Toronto. You can find me there, but, you know, like, I love you guys at Regent Park Focus, so I'll be stopping by.
Yeah, great. It was great to have you here. And if you're interested in the MP candidates, which include Bob Ray for Toronto Centre, you can head over to U of T next Monday. Where was it exactly?
At 7 p.m.
Yep.
Till 9 p.m. at the University of Toronto Victoria College. And it's going to be at Bader's Theatre.
Okay. And if you need directions or more details, you can contact any of your local MPs. They will have all that information. All right, that's it for this week. Check us out next week, 7:30 from CKLN. This is Steve signing out.
And this is Helen signing out.